Glad you could join us today. My name is Daniel Cavanaugh, and I'm here with my dad, Charles. This is Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond. We are in pursuit of growing in our understanding of the gospel and discovering what it means to transfer to the next generation. And Dad, probably been about a month now, but we had an episode in which we left off talking about an issue, and so in some ways we left ourselves saying there's going to be part two, and we haven't visited part two yet, so this is part two. The previous episode was titled Lost, and this one I guess we'll title Lost Part Two. We were talking about just various issues of things that have been lost because the foundations have been destroyed.
Right.
So maybe if you want to just kind of remind our listeners of the things that we already covered and then the new things that we'll cover here in this new episode.
Right. Yeah, that's we began with the with what we call a loss of virginity. Mm-hmm. That gets our attention because we think,
oh, yeah, for sure.
Really think sexual. And there's a reason why we think sexual, but actually the loss of sexual virginity, sexual purity that we see in our culture and even in our churches is a symptom of a loss of innocence.
Right.
And so the culture's been ravished with this hedonistic or right. selfish philosophy, this sensualistic, narcissistic, self-focused philosophy. And the church has been ravished.
Right.
I think of John when he said he looked at the beast and he marveled. The church marvels at the world. I'm thinking, what are we so hung up with
right.
the world about? Then there's a loss of authenticity or reality because we have this ravished culture that's so self-centered and so sensual. Then we lose touch with reality and things don't mean what they used to mean, and reality is not what it
even
used to be.
Even though we have a culture that seeks something that's, quote, real more than ever before.
Hence reality shows.
Right, reality yeah. shows, but yet it's still so fake because it's not real.
It's still constructed.
Right.
Yeah. But we're sure trying to construct something real. And then we talked about a loss of integrity or honesty. We're going to see how these connect in just a moment because
right.
we see a central point to this, but there's no such thing overall anymore as integrity. A lie isn't a lie anymore. Honesty doesn't matter anymore as long as you don't, quote, hurt somebody else. I mean, you know, we've gone from believing it's okay to tell the white lie to our leaders looking us in the face and saying this will happen when they know it won't.
Right.
You know, so anyway, that's where we left off. We're going to move into three other things today.
Okay. So maybe if you just want to lead us into those, the first one, and kind of just lead us off.
Yeah,
there
this is really the
picking
center.
Up here, part two.
Yeah, this is the center. You asked me before we went on the air here. How do they connect? And
right.
we're going to talk about that some at the end. But the next one connects the others that are around it, and that's a
right.
loss of orthodoxy or
right.
loss of truth. And that's something that's crept up on us. It's not crept up on the intellectual community because the intellectual community's been discussing this and believing this for a while. But there's no such thing as objective truth, and what we need, what the culture needs, and what the church needs is objectivity. By objectivity, we mean something that is right and real and true, that is a rock.
There has to be a primary cause.
Yeah, a primary mm-hmm. cause and a truth related to that cause. Sometimes we talk about it as a biblical worldview.
Right.
You know, but what's the rock? What's the thing that doesn't move in the midst of all these other things? And
you know,
we've lost that.
Yeah, you know, it's interesting you talk about that because I think, you know, we look at the world and we go, I mean, come on, guys. You have to have an absolute truth. You know, we talk
mm-hmm.
about professors and the age-old stories where students are standing before professors and the professors say, there's no such thing as absolute truth, and go on all
and then we
stuff.
Ask them, do you believe that absolutely?
Right. Do you believe that absolutely? And we say that, and we as Christians, we refute that over and over again. But then I turn around and go, guys, we don't even believe that ourselves. Because, and I'll explain myself what I mean by that. There's this kind of this undercurrent that theology or orthodoxy doesn't matter. That what we believe doesn't matter, you know? And I'm kind of like, you're basically just speaking out of both sides of your mouth. You condemn the world
right.
for not believing in absolute truth, but
right.
you yourself do not want to study the scriptures and know who your God is, who is the primary cause,
right.
and absolutely bring an absolute right before us. This
right.
is what we believe to be true, and we will hold this no matter what.
Well, some of the argument against orthodoxy or absolute truth that is argued toward the church is that the church is theoretical. It's not in touch with reality. It's not in
mm-hmm.
touch with the real world. But the reality is, and the truth is, that truth, it's the application of truth that people run from.
Right.
You know, it's when they believe there is one God, one source of all things, one creator, one sovereign, and they have to live with that. That's why they don't like it. And why we don't like it in our natural state.
Right. They're okay with saying that God is sovereign until something happened bad in their life. You know.
And I'm even thinking of unbelievers who don't believe in a God at all, or at least not some personal God, who would say, you know, I don't believe in a personal sovereign God. Of course they don't want to, because if there is a personal sovereign God, he's got something personal to say to you.
But you wait until they get in trouble.
Yeah.
What do they do when they get in trouble? They call it a Jesus name.
Will you pray for me?
Yeah, will you pray for me? It's amazing.
Will you say a prayer for me?
Yeah, pray to what? But kind of going back to just personal application for us as believers, I think one of the things that people sneer at orthodoxy is that it can be passionless. But I beg to differ. Mm-mm. I believe that your orthodoxy will make you passionate.
Passionless orthodoxy is not true orthodoxy.
No, it's not. It's not at all. And I really think, I like what you're saying here in this whole idea of that orthodoxy surrounds all these other things we're talking about we've lost. You know, we talked about the loss of virginity, the loss of authenticity, the loss of integrity. Well, we don't know how to be those things. We don't know how to have integrity because we don't know our God. Yeah. I'll just say this. Our pastor this past Sunday talked about this in his message. He talked about how that we come up with moralisms, mm-hmm. but we have no idea why we're doing this. Mm-hmm. And this is a perfect example. We're people of, quote, integrity, but why do we have integrity?
Well, yeah, I wrote down a note, something to this effect during that message. our concern should not be with doing right, but with knowing Christ and applying His reality to our lives.
Right.
If we're concerned about is doing right, then
Whoopee.
Somebody else has got a right that's better than our right.
Exactly. No.
Ours is the person of Christ. That's what he brought out.
And it brings me back to that I think we as Christians can speak out of both sides of our mouth, because we tend to go, well, you don't believe in absolutes, but then I don't think we actually apply that ourselves.
Yeah.
I really don't. Yeah. So,
and so orthodoxy is the ultimate application. It's the ultimate reality.
Yeah. Okay, so we've talked about loss of orthodoxy. We've got a couple more here. The next one would be loss of humility.
Yeah, and this now, orthodoxy actually connects us to the next two.
Because a lot.
The other three to the next two. A lack of humility. We have this problem in our culture and in the church of self-worth. We're constantly trying to see what our personal value is, and this problem of self-love. Some of the, I would say, pseudo-Christian teachers and writers in the last generation or so have come up with this thing, well, you've got to love yourself in order to love other people. They would say that the Bible assumes that you have to love yourself first, or otherwise you can't love others as yourself. No, I would beg to differ with them. Scripture says you do love yourself.
Yeah, no man ever hated his own flesh.
Yeah, and so there's this problem of self-love, and then there's this whole problem of self-worship. All that's tied together. Self-worth, self-love, self-worship. We have become a culture and a people, and this church certainly is affected by this worship of self. Mm-hmm. And so there is no proper view of self. Humility brings a proper view of self.
Right.
And then that leads us to the final thing, which is a loss of sanity. You know, how many times have you heard somebody say, last few weeks, somebody's jumping out somewhere and shooting people, and we're saying, man, our country's gone nuts. They're crazy. Well, that's not too far off.
Right.
In a sense, we have gone crazy.
I believe it.
Because we've left the rock, we've left the solid toward the quicksand of murky moralisms, as you call them, and lack of real rock-solid truth.
Right. Well, and kind of tying all this in, because we talked about the loss of orthodoxy being kind of the center. I mean, those who are truly orthodox will be humble. There will be authentic.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? I think if people are scared of the doctrine that we talked about, they will know it's not good when people are not walking in humility and there's not authenticity and when there's not sanity. I think we're losing sanity within among our churches.
Yeah.
A measure of it. I mean, obviously you see it in our world on a very wide scale, people shootings and things like that, but I think the churches doesn't even think clearly about God anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's because they basically create a God in their own image.
Yes, and so they're left to their own devices, mm-hmm. they think. And, this, you know, I heard it said that I was a psychologist or psychiatrist of some years past made the comment that all insanity is just varying forms or stages of irresponsibility. I think there's a strong measure of truth to that. When we're not tied to the rock of truth, and so then we do whatever we think is right in our own minds, there's this wishy-washy shifting sand of a lack of orthodoxy and this self-love, then we do not have the responsibility, the accountability to God. We have left the one who makes life worth living. That's a cliche-sounding thing, but right. We've left the one who makes right. life anything.
Right. Well, he is in all. And in all, he's part of all. He is, you know, his son Jesus Christ, Colossians, he is everything.
Yeah.
Firstborn from the beginning.
And what Paul said, you know, from him, through him, right. to him, Romans. For all things.
Yeah. Right. Well, here's kind of a clarifying question that I would ask. We talk about orthodoxy, we talk about sanity. So those people, and I'll throw this out, and this could be kind of, can sound kind of harsh, but those people who are like, I don't want to have anything to do with doctrine, I don't have anything to do with theology, anything to do with sound orthodoxy, okay? If they're saying that, is that in some measure a loss of sanity?
Yeah.
I mean, I don't know. They may not. You're getting into the whole thing. Is a person really a believer? Are they not a really believer? But honestly, it's like, why would you not want that which is central?
Yeah.
Why would you not want that which is
solid?
Absolute.
Yeah, exactly.
And solid, rock solid.
Well, maybe we could say it is a step in that direction. Mm-hmm. That those who reject doctrine or orthodoxy and say, you know, that's not what we need, that's not where reality is, or really stepping off toward where the culture is right now. Mm-hmm. Is that the direction we want to go? We often say leadership's not a matter of where we are, but where we're going, and lack of leadership is a matter of the direction you're going as well. And when people are being led in that direction, they're moving away from the rock, mm-hmm. which is Christ and His truth.
Right. Well, we've talked about all these things that we've lost. I think our listeners, we got a little bit of time left here, and not much, but a little bit of time. And I think our listeners, what are some personal, I think we need to give tangible evidences and something that we might think of in the world. Obviously, we're looking at here the loss of sanity. I mean, people are going around shooting each other. We've already mentioned that. Mm-hmm. I think in the Christian realm, people don't think clearly mm-hmm. about the scriptures.
Yeah, they come up with things. So they don't act responsible.
Oh, yeah. They come up with bizarre things. I mean, it never ceases to amaze me that the things that people can go, well, this is what the Bible says, and you're like, I've never seen it that way before.
I've read it through a few times. I haven't seen it.
Right. Yeah. You know, loss of humility. And obviously, this is an age-old struggle. I mean, people of God are going to struggle with humility in all
sure.
forms.
Yeah.
But there is a lot of, I think we've seen a lot of leadership which is very prideful mm-hmm. Because it comes about them. Mm-hmm. I mean, you see a leader who falls,
and then leads to this lack of integrity.
Yeah, exactly. And people who are leaders who might even call themselves orthodox, but then mm-hmm. it all became about them.
Yeah.
I mean, I've seen that here yeah. recently, in a leader that I just heard about that fell actually, yeah. and I'm just like, wow, we've got a man here who helps us some orthodoxy, but when it came down to it, he would not receive accountability from those mm-hmm. around him. Mm-hmm. He would not, and I'm sitting there going, and I think he probably, if you were to get down to it, probably lost sight of his orthodoxy, his absolute.
That's
truth.
Frightening.
It is very frightening.
I'm grateful for a pastor. I was talking to my pastor the other day. We were having this pastor appreciation time. And
right.
He's just resistant to that to some degree. And he said, man, I'm just a man, you know,
right.
and this sense of integrity. And that's people who come to us and say similar yeah. things, and I say, hey, we're just like you guys.
Right. But it's important to have a man who is walking in that humility.
Exactly.
And he's an orthodox man.
And knows what he's capable
of. He knows
of.
The scriptures. Right. He knows what he believes. Yeah. And I think the world will see someone who's rock solid. Other believers will see someone who's rock solid. There'll be authenticity. They'll go, there's something about that person that's different. Mm-hmm. Why do people say that?
It's what the scriptures yeah. call virtue.
Yes.
It's the moral excellence derived from attachment yes. to rock-solid truth that says, I am committed and surrendered to the sovereignty of God in my life and to those He's put in my life to keep me accountable.
Right. Well, we're unfortunately running out of time. We've come to the end of our time here. I did want to let our listeners know that if they want to go back and listen to the first episode on this issue of what we've lost, mm-hmm. it is titled Lost.
It could connect the two, that
way. On missionforliving.org, and it was post-date on October the 16th. So they can go back and listen right. to that. So I want to let our listeners know that. So, yeah. Well, thank you for joining us today. We look forward to being with you next week. Crosstalk is a production of Vision for Living Ministries. If you would like more information, please visit our website at visionforliving.org, where you will find other resources, including our blog. You can also find us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter at twitter.com/V4L. We would love to hear from you. You can email us at info@visionforliving.org or send us a message on Facebook. Join us next week on Crosstalk, the gospel for today and beyond.